We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking with Dr. Timothy Schaefer, director of the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy, associate professor in the Department of Communications, and hot topic here today is the fallout of the Derek Chauvin murder trial, and of course guilty on the three charges here that he was convicted on here this week. We've got another caller here. This is sparks some conversation, so let's go to Tony, who's on the phone lines. Good morning, Tony. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? So, professor, right, or is it doctor?
It's both. So you can can if we are in Europe, I would by default be professor. In the United States, we typically default to doctor, I am both. So however you can also just call me Tim. So whatever's good.
All right. So when you come on this show, you probably knew you were going to be asked about the stabbing. Well, there are still photos of the lady getting ready to stab the other lady against the car in the neck. She had the knife up. I mean, are you wanting her to, that would have been better for her to stab the lady than to be shot? I mean, he saved the other lady's life. I mean, you can see it. It's out there. And another thing is with the blacks getting killed by police and the whites, that is almost, I was listening to something today, the stats, and it was something like 300 to 150 that whites get killed. So two times whites get killed more than blacks by cops.
Yeah, and what was your name? Craig?
Tony. So if you're going by stats, it's about even.
Yeah. So you know, thanks for your comments. Let me start with your first point. The incident. I haven't watched the video in Columbus. I've read about it. I've seen some of the stills. I very intentionally, unless I need to in some way, or Tony. Sorry for the mistake there. I very intentionally don't like to watch those because I frankly think those incidents are dehumanizing. I think this is for myself. I don't need to see people die unnecessarily in any scenario. I also don't condone violence across the board, right? And I think in that situation, I would hate to see someone be killed, right? Whether it was the person that you were just referencing. And as I said, I haven't seen all of the videos very purposely. I've read about it more than anything in that spirit. My point is what I was making earlier, and maybe it wasn't very clear, and I think it's a response to your comment, is there are ways, and we know this, and it's documented, and we could even just take the last, you know, truly year, 2-3 years, if we even want to go back a little bit, is that there are practices where we can mitigate. And this is why we have a police force instead of, say, an unregulated militia just kind of trolling around with weapons to kind of address what are identified as issues in a community, where they can appropriately and safely mitigate problems. You know, just a number of days ago, we had another incidence of a police officer accidentally shooting someone instead of using a taser, for example. There are ways in which we can address, right? So shooting to kill or shooting to maim are you know, two of the ways that we might think about how to respond to that, right? And so it's easier, right, in some ways just to shoot. But this is where when people talk about potentially, you know, kind of training and doing some things differently as default. And honestly, Tony, it goes back, I think, to the earlier caller who was, you know, kind of lamenting the language of kind of systemic ways in which we might think about some of these things that are imbued with kind of racial tones. This is what comes into play, right? If it's easier to figure out, if your first instinct is, I'm just going to stop this, and truly, honestly, in the protection of another person, because I don't want that other person to be injured or killed. But if the response is, I'm going to just kill them instead of figure out how to mitigate the situation, reduce the threat, those kinds of things, that's where a lot of those who would really say we need to think about restructuring systems or have new kind of practices or routines becomes, I think, really relevant. So that's the first thing, right? How do we not have some of these interactions that inherently and almost immediately, as the 13-year-old in Chicago, there was again another incident of a video. It doesn't matter, honestly, what that person is doing at said time. There are ways that we can de-escalate without killing someone across the board. I don't care who they are, either actor, but just as a default, right? I think this is just violence that's infused in our society, unfortunately. And then the second piece is, and I don't know, you said you were listening or watching to something earlier. I guess for me as a researcher, you know, as you were asking, you know, what was my title before, is what are your sources, right? Where are you getting that information? Are we talking about raw data? Are we talking about percentages? I mean, so this is, and we don't necessarily have to have this whole conversation now, but for all listeners and for all of us, and I do it for myself, I do it as I'm interacting with students about understanding where we get information, what are also the implications of accessing it in the places where we get it from. So misinformation, intentional kind of disinformation that misleads us in ways that is unfortunate or is kind of obscuring what's kind of behind the data. And so I know I've said it to folks here at K-Man in the past that I appreciate how they function as truly a news source of reporting on local news and national news and the like, because it's important for us to be able to know what's going on and to also trust it. And so if and I'm not saying this is you, but for anyone and myself, right, if we're accessing information from reputable sources, that's one thing. If we're not, then we have to ask what makes us feel more comfortable doing that, and feeling that confirms our already kind of existing views. This confirmation bias is one way we can talk about that. Those are things that we all need to have better practices, right? How do we trust what information we're getting? How can we verify it? Are there ways to do that? And if we can't respond to those in kind of an affirmative way, then I think it elicits a real, importantly for us, this question of why do I feel comfortable having this be something that informs my view if it in fact is not the best source? And again, I don't know what you're referencing to, but for me, that's one of the important practices I have for myself, but also for those that I teach, whether they're undergraduates or others, is knowing, you know, information just doesn't exist, right? It is filtered. It comes through kind of certain channels and is interpreted as such. And so we have to recognize that. And this is where kind of multiple views and perspectives becomes really important, right? That we're not only relying on, say, a single source, but in the academic world, we call this triangulation, right? That you can look at something and kind of get around it in multiple perspectives. And then you can say, yeah, that is going on. Or no, this is truly kind of an outlier, or this is maybe not totally truthful or accurate in the way that would be most helpful for me to have this as something that informs, frankly, the way that I see various serious things. So if we're thinking about police community relations, this is something that I think we should really think about, kind of the spectrum of information that comes here, to where it's not only coming from the fraternal union of police, and it's also not only coming from, say, the Black Lives Matter movement, right? I mean, there are ways that we think about lots of sources from federal agencies, from government, from scholars who focus on this work. I mean, all across the board, and I'm not gonna go on any longer than this, but this question about information, I think, is a really important one, whether we're talking about this or truly anything else.
Yeah, all great points, and we're going to be running out of time here real soon.
Yep.
Thank
you.
I just want to convey one little thing here. You know, that going back to that article that we talked about with Minnesota police putting out the initial press release, I, as a news reporter, and seeing the growing news deserts we have in this country, not a lot of outlets for local news. It goes to the point showing that agencies like police, fire, EMS, all those need to be held accountable just like everybody else. And that's the role of journalists. And, you know, if I get on my soapbox for just a second, that's the one thing I would say needs to continue here. No matter where you live, you want a good, responsible news media who's going to be asking those questions, because there's always two sides of a story.
Yeah, and just to echo that point, absolutely. This is where trusted news sources play a really important point. And I would even add to what you just said, Brandon, the sense of at least being a couple perspectives on something is that, in fact, there are often more, right? And part of what opens that up is that we can look at things in a more kind of, honestly, kind of complex and frankly uncomfortable lens. This is where we have to really think about how we think about something that by default feels right or feels wrong. And what about that? And what else informs our thinking about that thing, right? The issue, that instance, whatever it might be. And so I really appreciate the comments from the callers, and I hope my responses were helpful more than anything. And thanks for the opportunity again to be here today.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Shaffer, always a pleasure. And we'll talk again to you real soon.
Sounds great. Thank you. Thanks.
Yep, stay tuned. More in focus after this with Robin Cole, Pawnee Mental Health, up next.